Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show.
Hello, my wonderful audience. So, as I make my way from, you know, computer to the chair, let's see, all right, I can sit in this chair. I wore a long shirt because I'm going to have to keep my legs spread.
How modest of you.
Right? I was going to wear my spanking panties, but then I knew that if I ended up in this chair, I was going to have to spread them.
And you very graciously gave me the chair that's easier to sit with a corset.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I was prepared in case of options.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We should get into it.
Okay. So welcome to another episode of My Orgasmic Life. And if you haven't figured out already, I have Mistress Dana with me in the dungeon. It's been a while.
It has.
It's been a long time since we've done a podcast.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about kink denial.
What is kink denial?
What is that?
It's a whole new thing.
Yes. So, do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dive in.
All right. So, often what we see happen both in our personal kink practices as well as our professional kink practices is that we often see people come, have a session, drop in for the first time ever. For a lot of people, it's like the first time that they're like, oh my God, I've been seen, I've been heard, I'm not a weirdo, I'm not a freak. Well, if I am, I'm not alone.
Good kind of freak.
Good kind of freak. And so there's this beautiful like dropping in, and this beautiful like the ultimate in self-acceptance and self-love and self-regulation, like validation, right? But humans are funny. You think you're like, right? What's wrong with that? Why wouldn't you want more of it? Why wouldn't you want to have it all the time?
Every day,
24/7.
Yes.
Right? Because as human beings, we don't allow ourselves to have joy, happiness, pleasure, self-contentment. We don't actually allow that for ourselves.
Which sounds actually ridiculous. And yet when you look at what people do,
yep,
this is what they do. They may say, and you probably say it to yourself, it's like, of course I want joy, of course I want fulfillment, of course I want like all the sexy.
Yeah.
But are you acting on that?
Yeah.
Is your actions in alignment with what's coming out of your mouth? And this is what we see as the disconnect.
Yeah, it's like the search for happiness, the search for joy, the search for self-love is like this. We're, you know, as a human race, we're on the search. We're very dedicated to the seeking,
the quest,
the searching, even the conquering.
Yes.
Right. We're like, we are very hardwired for the search and the conquer, but not what happens once you get it.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do. We freak out. We run away. We like sabotage. We, you know, implode relationships. We do all sorts of really interesting, That's how I'm gonna put it. Instead of fucked up, I'm gonna say interesting.
Very interesting.
So we do some very interesting things to keep us back on
the quest and the quest search.
And the search, instead of sitting in the I've arrived.
Yeah. Or how do I expand what I have experienced?
Yeah.
And yeah, that piece. And I think, you know, really reinforced with the messages that we get from media and movies and stories. It's all about this hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And we know about the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is that, you know, being that reluctant hero, going on the quest, but then there's not much that happens once they achieve. It's like, bleh. And so we have this imprinting of once we've achieved, that's it. That's all there is.
Yeah. So now we got to start again.
Yeah. New quest.
New quest. Now, here's the thing. And this is the invitation, is that I know for me, the quest is never done in the dungeon.
No.
Like you may have had an experience and you're like, oh, I found my people. I found my place. I found my, you know, my kink, and that felt great. But I'm an adventurer and an explorer. So the quest is never done. We're just going to ramp that up. We're just going to up the ante. We're going to conquer new mountains. I'm going to find new ways to like push myself and to help my, you know, my little subbies to be the best subby version of that they didn't even know that was possible. So the quest doesn't have to end. So even though we really are, you know, I think as humans, we don't know how to sit in contentment and happiness. And so that takes like a lot of healing. Like, let's be honest, that takes a lot of work and a lot of healing to be able to sit in, all right, I'm just content. I don't know what to do with this. I don't have to do anything. This is really uncomfortable. So it takes a lot of like, kind of like a lifetime practice, really, yes. Of the, once you move out of the seeking of the hero's journey into joy, happiness, sexual gratification, all the things, to just like sit there in the afterglow, right? Be okay in the afterglow.
Yeah.
But that's a much more complex and a longer life journey.
Yeah. I think some of where I've gone with it is that it's like my sexual exploration. I've been phrasing it as I'm in search of the ultimate orgasm. And that's not defined. It's not like, oh, I'm off in search of the golden ring. And once I found the golden ring, I'm good. I've conquered and I'm done. There's no definitive guide to what is. And so then I get to constantly move into, okay, exploration. Is this like even more of a better orgasm than I had before? Longer, better, stronger, you know. But there's it leaves for that constant conquering, constant seeking for me.
Yeah. And for me, it's about what is some new kind of pleasure I can find. Right? Like, you know, I feel like as a orgasmic goddess, I've explored lots of orgasms. Every kind, every possibility, combinations of possibilities. And then even then, I'm like, oh, that was new. Who knew that that could happen? Oh, nice. But I think for me, it's like, what's a new way I can experience pleasure, like not the orgasm component, but the pleasure of the experience, right? Whether that's, you know, pain and the pleasure comes from the pain, or the exploration of like, oh, who knew I had that kink? Like, you know, when we do our next podcast, we're going to talk about all about some fun things that we went to the sex club together. Woo! So,
but didn't have sex.
But there was sex adjacent.
You have to tune in to find out what that means.
See what that means. But it's all about, like, for me, it's the seeking of the, like, what is the next possibility of my sexual evolution? Mm-hmm. Right? you know, every year I do Slutty Xmas, and every year I have to like find at least one new thing I've never done. So you can imagine how challenging that gets every year.
It used to be, I remember it used to be like one per day of Slutty Xmas.
Yeah, then it was like seven in a Slutty Xmas. Then it was three. And now I'm just down to like one. Because all year round is like Slutty Xmas in my world. And I'm always exploring new possibilities.
Yes.
But it's that there's still a seeking, right? There's,
yeah.
So that piece around, it's okay that you've been seen. It's okay that you've explored. It doesn't mean it's the end. You don't, you know, even though you may be incredibly uncomfortable with the being seen and, you know, and now you've explored your kink and now you got to run away.
And it's okay to come back if you've run away.
Yes. And if you run away, it's okay. You can come back. The dungeon hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah. We haven't gone anywhere.
We haven't gone anywhere. The dungeon hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, I might go off to Belize, but you know.
however, the whole wherever we are, you will always be welcome in the dungeon. The moral of that story,
right? Right?
Whatever dungeon we're in, wherever yes. we are, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So, beyond this whole, I think kink, what do we call it? Denial. Kink denial is not just this whole uncomfortable, I've been seen and I've been heard and I now I'm content and what the fuck do I need now, what do I do? I think it's also the, let's talk about now you feel like there's something wrong with you. This is another kind of where people will have an experience that's so deeply profound and wonderful and like, you know, fulfilling your fantasies on every level. And then it's like before you fulfilled that fantasy, it was a fantasy. So you weren't truly a freak or a weirdo or a deviant. Mm-hmm. But now you've experienced it and you really liked it. And you liked it more than you even realized that you liked it. And so then that kind of, we've seen happen lots, is there's this activation in our in people's brains, somebody's brains that says, I have to deny that part of myself
because I shouldn't want this.
I shouldn't want
this. This is not normal.
Yeah.
This is not okay. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. There's also a component in that when you don't have anybody to share it with and have that normalized, then that reinforces that shame cycle for people. And, you know, you can just get caught up in your head. It's like, oh, this is wrong. I shouldn't want it. And then your brain starts making up all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't, in supporting your choice to not.
And then it goes back in the closet and it goes back into the secret. And then what I often see, whether it's from a lifestyle or from a dom, like a pro situation, people then go the opposite. They go direct, like they all of a sudden go into like the most vanilla, religious, they pick a partner that's the most prudish on the planet. It's like wanting to like pretend that you're not kinky, right? If I hang out with not kinky people and then maybe I can shove it down and it's just a secret and it's a secret that may get fixed. It may get, you know, healed. It may mm-hmm. I may not, I probably don't need that.
Right.
So I'm here to tell you that's not true. Once kinky, always kinky, and you will always be always a part of your being that needs it. Not mm-hmm. just a, oh, that's nice. It's a, I'm home. Mm-hmm. I'm in a deep expression of who you are. And so you can't, it's like, I always equate it to being kinky is like having a sexual orientation. You are attracted to who you are attracted to. You can't pray it away. You can't change it. You can't, there's nothing you can do. It is a part of who you are. And it's a beautiful part of who you are. It's mm-hmm. a glorious part of who you are. And there are people and communities that want to participate with you in the seeing the beautiful, kinky being that you are. but it's not something you can get rid of. You can't put it in the closet. You can't, mm-hmm. It will ooze itself out
somewhere
in some way.
Yeah. Some behavior. So, I mean, very commonly for me, you know, when I shove my kink back in the closet for a few years, then it comes out in eating and in not taking care of my body and having a relationship that doesn't work for me. These are things that it ends up manifesting into because I've got this piece that's suppressed. And then that energy has to go somewhere.
Yeah. And it doesn't usually go anywhere good.
Generally not.
No. then there's the added of like, the more you try to shove it down and the more it starts to show up in your sex, your dreams, and it will show up in what kind of porn you end up choosing. And then you will, whack off thinking of, experiencing that. And then you will feel bad and that you failed because you couldn't suppress your kink. And like, there's a whole bunch of shame and guilt and stuff instead of just finding embracing. The space, embracing that you are kinky, just like, I have blue eyes. I'm kinky. Like, that's just, it just is. And there's nothing wrong with you for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are the two pieces that we often see. People have this amazing experience, and then there's this backlash internally, and they run away, they change, do drastic things to overcompensate for the fact that they had this the most amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So any suggestions for anybody that may be like registering of like, oh, I do that pattern, any suggestions that we can maybe support them and help them in, kind of moving through that piece? Or
I think, a good step at this stage is, okay, if you're choosing the porn, then give yourself permission to watch that porn, to enjoy it, to whack off to it. Start to make it that you have permission within yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, ideally find some people that you can talk to so you can start to normalize that kink is an orientation. Mm-hmm. It's like if you figured out that you're gay, go hang out with other gay people.
Yeah.
Because they're going to help to, to reinforce that this is okay. This is who we are. You're welcome. And, so whether that's, visiting kink sites, going to munches, although that's a mixed bag. But I think, having something, find some way that resonates with you that allows it to normalize. Even listening to more episodes of your podcast.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're so embracing of your kink, embracing of your sexuality, that hearing somebody else talk about it in this way, that this is normal, this is healthy.
Yeah.
There's nothing abnormal about it. The only thing that's abnormal is everybody else's repressed sexuality, which has nothing to do with it.
Exactly. No, yes. So some good resources. FetLife is a great resource to realize you're not alone. And it's a good resource to see that there's people all over the world who are kinky, kinky people everywhere. There's millions of kinky people in the world. Like, I think FetLife from that perspective is like really great to like normalize that. Oh, wow. There isn't just five of us that live in town that are kinky. There's like half of our population is kinky. So FetLife is a really good place for that. The other thing I really like about FetLife is that there's a group for everyone and everything. And when you're new, I recommend joining lots of different groups that are specific around some of your kinks and sexual desires, because then people have conversations and there's engagement and interaction.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate. So
I love
and hate FetLife. I think it's a great resource for, like you say, you're not alone. And recognize that there's a lot of people who are still not fully embracing of their sexual orientation as kinksters and maybe not necessarily great role models. So take it all with a grain of salt.
Yes. Don't by any means, everybody, no, if they're not professionals and you haven't seeked them out from a professional standpoint, what people say, don't, like, you need to do your due diligence within yourself. Yeah. But the piece around not being alone and creating community, not looking at really, I think it's also really important to not look at FetLife as a place to meet or as a singles piece or from a dating perspective. That's when there's a lot of weirdness that ends
even
up happening.
Even education, I would say it's more social and just kind of normalizing it for you. I would say, you know, your training courses that you have for education so that you get good education that's really oriented to keeping people safe and healthy.
Yeah. So really think about it. FetLife is like Facebook for kinky people. It's for social interaction. Yeah. It's for meeting different groups of people. Like I'm on a group that are bacon lovers. There's a whole group that's all about people who are have a kink about bacon. I was like, right on. These are my people.
Something for everybody.
So that's what I like is the possibility that the FetLife opens up these beautiful possibilities that you're not alone. Yes, education, please, please, please come see me for education or ask me who I would recommend for education. There's lots of people who don't know what they're doing in the internet. I mean, it's a good life choice to never really just trust the internet.
Crowdsourcing anything in your life
is not necessarily not a good life choice.
Work.
So, yes, another beautiful resource we talked about munches. So let's, for everybody's like, well, what the fuck's a munch? Well, a munch and different munches run differently, but the general idea of a munch is it's in a non-kink environment and you go to a restaurant and you hang out with kinksters, but you may not be talking about kink. You may be talking about the weather. Like it's a hit and miss, but it's also it's a great place if you want to meet somebody that you've interacted with and you want to vet them to bring them to a munch. So it's it's a safe environment. You're safe there. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good place around what I would utilize munches for is like, and then also seeing who's in your community. And when you go to a munch for the first time, a lot of people don't know this. If you seem to be very like comfortable in your skin, often the munch hosts won't really introduce you to the new people. So when you're going into a new, whether it's a kink event or a munch, you want to go find the dungeon master or the host of it and say, I'm new. Can you please introduce me around? And otherwise you're going to sit in a corner and feel like awkward and weird.
Nobody likes to feel awkward and weird.
No one likes to feel awkward and weird.
Yeah.
So that's a tip that I give everybody that when you're walking into those things, that's a way to help you navigate that with ease. Mm-hmm. And then there's always coming and seeing us.
Yes.
Helping you navigate that world and helping you have those beautiful kink experiences. And we can help you navigate, rewire the shame and the guilt that you may be having. We can continue to help you on your journey.
We do lots of work helping people to navigate dating.
Yep. Dating,
you know, finding their person for more of a lifestyle situation. So
coming in, having like often we'll have clients who've never experienced kink and then they come and see us to have a safe experience and then they know what they like and what they don't like and then they can go out to the lifestyle. Like there's all these beautiful ways in which we support people in embracing your kink. So you don't have to be, you don't have to suffer from kink denial.
No.
There's no need.
No need. Let's keep that one off the list.
Yeah. Right, no kink denial. All right, orgasm denial, sure, that's a different conversation, but kink denial, no, we should not be denying our kinks.
No, absolutely.
Sorry. All right, okay. Anything else you want to say before we
I think
go?
That's really good.
All right, so if you would like to see more of what actually happens in the dungeon, you should go visit my loyal fans page. It's Empress Gaia One on Loyal Fans. And how can they hear about your dirty stories?
Oh, so I'm starting to post my dirty stories on Substack.
Yeah.
So Substack seems to be a little hard to find, but if you do the at symbol, And my full name, which is Dana Farrant, so DanaPharant. And then that will get you in there, and you want to absolutely hit subscribe.
Yeah. So, and you know, as always, you can come see us at Empress Gaia. We have all of our stuff on there, empressgaia.com. You'll find all the things, find Dana's page, my page, how to interact with us outside of not just our sessions. So, you know, have at her. All right. Till next time, stay kinky, stay curious. Of course, stay horny. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Here's a little blue brush for you.
Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? You know, I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.